Support by Denali National Park. Enjoy the views along the way and keep your eyes open for moose, bears, caribou, and 130 different bird species in the park's natural wilderness area. Exploring your home state is the COVID-safe way to enjoy the summer.
Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native artists are among those who felt the impact of the pandemic. Many lost incomes as in-person art markets were shut down. Tribal communities closed to tourists and tribes implemented some strict COVID-19 measures. The Native art scene and individual artists are back in business in Santa Fe, New Mexico this weekend. We'll hear how those who rely on traveling around found creative ways to generate much-needed dollars. Next, after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Tripp Krause in for Antonia Gonzalez. For the last 3 years, the Pascua-Yaki tribe in southern Arizona has been advocating for the county official in charge of early voting to reinstate an early voting site in its urban reservation, going so far as to file a lawsuit against the Pima County, Arizona Recorder's Office last year. Emma Gibson with Arizona Public Media reports that the tribe and the recorder's office are celebrating a settlement in the case.
The settlement lays out that for every statewide primary and general election from now till the end of 2024, the Pascua-Yaki tribe will have an early voting site within its reservation. Chairman Peter Yocopicio says, with this new site, even if the monsoon rains flood the streets into Tucson during early voting, people will still be able to vote within the reservation.
This has touched a place in my heart, and for our people, you know, I almost cried when they told us, hey, you are going to get restored your voting site.
He says the right to vote is just as important in Arizona Indian Country as it is in an Arizona county. For National Native News, I'm Emma Gibson.
The California Senate unanimously voted to approve a measure that would create a state holiday on California Native American Day for court employees. The state holiday would exchange for Columbus Day and be observed on the fourth Friday of September. California State Assembly member James Ramos introduced the measure.
We've been working on this holiday for well over 20-something years. Ultimately, got elected to the State Assembly and was approached to move forward a bill that would exchange for the court systems in the state of California Columbus Day as a paid holiday and exchange it for California Native American Day as the paid holiday for the court systems in the state of California.
The measure awaits the governor's signature.
And because California Native American Day has been celebrated within the Indian community for years, we know that there'll be ongoing activities. So we encourage the population of the state of California on California Native American Day to get out and learn more about California's first people that makes this state what it is today.
While marijuana remains illegal in North Carolina, the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians voted to establish a medical marijuana program on tribal lands. Eastern Band Principal Chief Richard Steed spoke to the ordinance during a tribal council meeting on August 5th.
And the issue is this is a compassionate care issue. This is an issue for people who have chronic pain, for people who have cancer and who are on chemotherapy and cannot eat, for people who have PTSD, for soldiers who have come back from combat, for those who are battling opioid addiction, this is the off-ramp.
The ordinance creates a legal framework for a medical cannabis program, an advisory commission to study cannabis-related issues, as well as a control board to set regulations.
We are a sovereign. We are a nation. And our people have asked for this. I can assure you there has been extreme diligence done in crafting this ordinance, a tremendous amount of diligence done in researching operations, the manufacturing side, the dispensary side, et cetera. We have the capacity to do it. We have the wherewithal to do it. And it is my sincere hope that you all today have the will to do it. Thank you.
The Oneida Indian Nation is a partner in one of six bids to operate mobile or online sports betting in New York. The state is expected to award two licenses for online sports platforms needed to place online bets. Bidders hope licenses are at least issued in time for the February 2022 Super Bowl. President Joe Biden nominated a Umatilla's tribal citizen to lead the National Park Service. If confirmed, Chuck Sams would be the first Native American to hold the position of director. Sams is Cayuse in Walla Walla and a citizen of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. According to White House officials, he's also worked in state and tribal governments and a nonprofit natural resource and conservation management fields for more than 25 years. For National Native News, I'm Tripp Krause.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by AARP. The Native Urban Elder Needs Assessment Survey will provide data to improve urban Indian elder health equity. Elders are underrepresented in data, and you can help. Info and survey at uiacoalition.org.
Support by the Sanosky Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. We're live from Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino on Pahuake Pueblo for the second day. We're showcasing some of the arts events going on in the Santa Fe area this week. The Poe Pathways event is here at Pahuake this weekend. Hundreds of artists and vendors are here. There's also the Santa Fe Indian Market, alternative markets, a lot of stuff going on with art, food, fashion, film, and much more. And a lot of events across the country, including here in New Mexico, were limited or canceled due to COVID-19. This event is a COVID-19 precautions, and we are here. And I got two guests joining me live today. Here's Chase Jackson. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And also Cougar V. Hill. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Hi.
Great, and we also have Acoma Pueblo Governor Brian Vio on the phone. Hello, Governor.
Good morning, everyone.
Well, Governor, let's go ahead and start with you and just kind of talk a little bit about how important arts and tourism is for the Pueblo of Acoma and, you know, just kind of some of the impacts that we saw during COVID-19.
Thank you, Antonia. So I, you know, I'm happy to know that there is a re-engagement of arts and culture happening this weekend, and I think something that our artisans and collectors and just the general public, you know, has been anticipating. You know, during COVID, of course, we've not had the opportunity to engage in ways that we have in the past, and it's been extremely difficult for our tribal artisans, not having the markets, not having even the ability to leave tribal lands because of mandates and orders instituted by their tribal governments. And so it's been very difficult, and I'm really grateful that our artisans have several outlets this weekend, and hopefully more in the future, to, you know, re-engage in that exchange and presentation of all the art forms. And you know, for Acoma, we have a large percentage of our population who are artists and who make their livelihood from the sale of their art. And we recognized this early on in the pandemic, and, you know, we were one of the tribes, and there were many tribes throughout the country who, you know, also developed artist relief programs and dedicated funds to help these artists and their families, you know, just make it through the pandemic. One of the really beautiful things I thought was to see how artists, you know, just through their own creativity and innovation, were able to still market their artwork. There were many online platforms that evolved as a result. And, you know, there was just such robust activity in my opinion. And it was really great to see that. And it's still happening despite, you know, all of the restrictions. And now with the Delta variant taking its toll on our communities and throughout the country and the world, it's still, you know, great to see that our tribal artisans have found creative ways to continue to create the art while also sharing that art form with the public. So I hope that, you know, this weekend's events, including the one at the Buffalo Thunder in Pewaukee Pueblo, are all very successful. I mean, I think that each of these events have incorporated the safety protocols that are necessary during this time. And, you know, I pray that everyone is safe and that the outcomes of the markets are all very successful for our artists and everyone else who's going to come and enjoy looking at the art, purchasing some art, and enjoying the song and dance and fashion and just the, you know, exchange with one another. Though it might be distanced and behind a mask, it's still a part of, I think, going to be an important part of the healing process that we are all engaged in at this point.
And thank you so much for that, Governor. And Cougar, the governor was saying of just the healing part of it and being impacted by COVID-19, go ahead and share a little bit about how you were impacted as an artist.
Well, I think this is like the first time I've had a booth set up since I think the last time was my little powwow at Dulce, Hickory Day Powwow, and that was the last time I had a booth set up, you know, and so that's like almost a year and a half ago. But as a photographer, you know, I am, you know, I'm always documenting my surroundings, my tribe, and of course, you know, I had to go and document, you know, this whole pandemic. I had to go and take pictures of the food distribution lines, the vaccine drives, you know, just things that the tribe was trying to do to either prevent or even these mitigation practices that were adopted during this pandemic, you know. So, I've been documenting my tribe for like 20 years now, and it's really been hard and difficult to see that, and you know, because you know these photographs will eventually be shown to not just, you know, the present generation but future generations, and you know, I'm at least happy to say, you know, I was there, and you know, this is what the tribe did to try to mitigate you know, these infections. So you know, doing these booth things is kind of fairly recent in my career. You know, I took screen t-shirts, I make stickers, cups, and, you know, I saw my mom's beadwork and her pottery. So, of course, you know, things had to change. I had to try to push my work online. Some of it was successful, some of it wasn't. So, but, you know, I did get a lot of support from, you know, friends and family who live off the reservation, you know, and they bought whatever I posted sometimes. And you know, that's how I kind of was able to share my work. So yeah, I had to really change a lot in this whole pandemic. And I'm so grateful that, you know, Buffalo Thunder is hosting this, the Pueblo Pewaukee. You know, I have to really commend them for really, you know, putting this event together, because, you know, it's helped out so many artists. So
thank you for that. And also for you as well, Chase, how has the pandemic impacted you as an artist?
Well, as an artist, you know, it's difficult not being able to go to shows as often. You know, I've had to get a 40-hour job, you know, 5 days a week. You know, that cuts back on, you know, just your creativity in such a way that, you know, you're really having to divide your time between two jobs, you know, one providing food and one that you do as a passion. And so this is the first time I've shown probably in a good year and a half. I've probably stopped a little before the pandemic actually took off. You know, just speaking with other artists that are out showing, you know, I kind of took a step back prior to the pandemic and really kind of wanted to see how it was going to play out as far as art markets went. And I'm kind of glad I did, in a sense, you know, I was able to really focus on what I wanted to tell within my paintings and take that time to take a self-look and do an introspect and find out, you know, what am I now as an artist trying to convey.
And we definitely hear that a lot from artists here and other artists that are taking part in different events, is just also how the pandemic impacted their creativity. Kugerg, is the same for you, just looking at maybe, you know, being home, or how it impacted your creativity because people kept creating during the pandemic?
Yeah. Well, I actually had to shut down my silkscreen little setup I have, because I had a relative who actually moved back. And so, you know, there was that room that I had that I was using, I had to give it up, you know, for them to. So that really put a damper on my workflow. You know, because the relative who had to move back, you know, was due to the pandemic, you know. Actually, to do this work here, I had to move everything outside. And so I've been working outside. Outside, it's been my studio for the past couple of weeks. But it definitely has really impacted my work and, you know, just really thinking of new ideas, you know, for possible future pieces. You know, I think it's ever changing. I mean, a couple months ago, we were still in shelter in place, you know. And now things are opening up, you know, and so I don't even know what the next couple months will be like, you know, especially with this new Delta variant. So, you know, who knows what may come.
Definitely. And anything to add to that, Chase, about just the creativity, you know, keep creating, but at the same time, just looking at the pandemic and, you know, kind of just adjusting to life, especially as an artist?
You know, yes, you know, we still need to create, you know, as much as possible. With that being said, you know, as Cougar was saying, you know, his workspace had gotten smaller. At the time, I was actually living with my father. You know, I had to move back in with him. So my workspace, you know, I was trying to carve out a little niche in his garage to get a little area going. And with that, you know, just... do what you can, as much as you can. You know, any creativity helps feed the world with, you know, love, and that's just going to help us get us over this pandemic.
Definitely. And today we're here at Buffalo Thunder at the Poe Pathways event that's taking place. There's arts, food, music, dance. There's a lot of stuff going on, but we also want to hear from our callers. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. The Line 3 oil pipeline across Minnesota is mostly complete, but tribes and others continue to oppose it with lawsuits and other resistance in an attempt to stop the construction. We'll hear updates from people on the ground and learn about the ongoing concerns about the project. That's on the next Native America Calling.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on StrongHeartsHelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. We're live at Poe Pathways at Buffalo Thunder at Pauake Pueblo today. We're hearing about some arts and talking with some of the artists and looking and reflecting on COVID-19, but also just celebrating. And this gathering is happening as other other events are happening in the Santa Fe area this weekend, but we want to hear from you as well. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I have some guests here with me today who are showing at Poe Pathways. And also on the phone, we have Governor Brian Vio from Acoma Pueblo. And Governor, I know you got a busy day ahead, and I just wanted to give you a chance to have any closing thoughts as we are here at Native America Calling at Pope at the Buffalo Thunder.
Thank you, Antonia. I just want to wish everyone a safe and enjoyable and successful weekend. I'm looking forward to visiting all of the shows. I'll be at Buffalo Thunder later on today for a panel presentation concerning Pueblo pottery. So, you know, there's a lot going on. And again, this engagement is just so important to our collective healing. And while we are not out of the woods yet, you know, we can come together safely and share our culture with one another. You know, one of the things that our tribes are also faced with is because of the pandemic. You know, those of us who are engaged in tourism have just been challenged. We've not been able to open our reservations to tourists, and who knows when we might be able to do that again. Certainly here at Acoma, we remain closed. Our cultural center and museum and the daily tour activity has ceased and is not in operation. But our museum and cultural center has done a great job at engaging our tribal artisans in online sales of artwork. And, you know, just getting some things done. You know, one of the really exciting things that happened here at Acoma was you know, we waited it had almost been 20 years before we installed an outdoor mural on the exterior of our cultural center. And so during this time of pandemic, it was really a great opportunity for us to engage some artists, not only Acoma artists, but our children in the development of a large format exterior mural on our cultural center. So, you know, even that activity was just really great to see, and our community members having the opportunity to see what was happening, and for children to be engaged in that process in a safe way was just really incredible and healing. And it's a beautiful piece of art, and it's going to be part of our community for many, many years to come. So I want to encourage our artists to continue to create and be innovative. And I'm so grateful that we have this creative spirit gifted to us by our Creator. I look forward to the times that we can all come together, less the masks, to share our culture and engage the way that we do as Native people. So I wish you all a safe weekend, and I send blessings from our tribe to all the tribes and indigenous people throughout the world. And let's all look forward to healing together and to those better days, I hope and pray, in the immediate future. So thank you very much, Antonia.
Thank you, Governor Brian Vio from Acoma Pueblo. And now we have an artist joining us here at our walk-up microphone here at Buffalo Thunder. Melvin, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Melvin Kornchucker. I'm a Cherokee from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm a contemporary potter. I've been throwing pots for 45 years, and I've done shows all over the United States. I've gone around the world because of being a potter. But I'm here at Buffalo Thunder and enjoying the facilities, enjoying the show. It's a very nicely run show. They treat your artists very well. So just wanted to say Tohija, which is hello and how are you doing in Cherokee. And come out to see us. We're here at Buffalo Thunder. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Melvin, for coming up to our microphone here at Buffalo Thunder. And just Chase, listening to Governor Vio and his words, and also Cougar, just any reflection on what he had to say about, you know, keeping the good spirits up and to, you know, blessings for all the people. Go ahead, Chase.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's, far as myself as an artist, that's the number one thing I try to transcribe within my work, is just hopefulness, you know, just beauty, you know, just love for your everyday man, you know, for all our Indigenous brothers and sisters, you know, for the children that have passed on through the residential schools, you know, we're here because of them, you know, and we're going to be here for them in the future, you know, so.
And anything else to add, Cougar?
No, just, you know, I think just be positive, you know. We've gone through, there's a year and a half of just craziness, and I think, you know, I see a lot of smiles. Well, hopefully there's a lot of smiles going on here.
Right. You have to kind of do the smile, yeah. Like with your eyes.
But, you know, everybody's in high spirits. You know, I when coming this morning, everybody was in a rush to, you know, set up, and, you know, I feel like everybody is in this, like, moment of, like, of, you know, just amazement that something like this is happening. And, you know, I think we still need to follow, do our precautions, get vaccinated, wear the mask. You know, my tribe was shut down like every other tribe was, and so, you know, it's nice to get away. This is my first time in Santa Fe, or staying in a hotel, really,
in
a while. Yeah, so, you know, even things are, I'm still a little anxious, but overall, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, and that's definitely something we hear from a lot of people that are here, is kind of that also anxiety from the artists. And there is a vaccination clinic going here on at Buffalo Thunder, and, you know, people who want to go get a vaccine, they're also giving away some prizes as well that they're eligible for. Any thoughts on Chase, just about you know, what we're talking about the positivity and stuff? And we also want to hear about the art that both of you produce. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your art, Chase?
Okay, well, my name's Chase Jackson, obviously. I'm Arapaho. I do acrylic on canvas from Oklahoma. I'm set up outside, booth 221, if you guys want to come by and check out the art. Reasonable prices, great art. The few art that I've been able to see as I pass by is outstanding here. I've really, you know, haven't seen art in this capacity in quite a while, and it's just an outstanding feeling to be here and to be a part of it.
And same for you, Cougar. Just tell us a little bit about your artwork, what you do. You mentioned some of your photography as well.
Yeah, well, I really am inspired by the land. And so I have a motif, which is the reservation poster that's posted up on our border. And I use that. And I put on T-shirts and cups and stickers and whatever I can. I silk screen it. And so... but also with my photography work, I did some photograms with cyanotype, and I got some plants that people would hopefully recognize, like aspens and juniper, and, you know, I just did some photograms and, you know, things that are local. So, and then I just did a collage with them, and they look something very new I'm working with. I'd never done, like, collage work, but even just working with fabrics, but it's really coming out nice, and... this is the first time I'm actually showing it. So, you know, I thought this week would be a good time to, you know, show some brand new work that I've been working on for the past couple of months. So,
neat. Yeah, and I can't wait to walk through and see all the art. And, you know, people are starting to come now, and this is going to be through the weekend. But we also want to hear from our callers listening to the program today. We're at Native America Calling is live at the Buffalo Thunder at the Poaque Pueblo. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go to Eva in New York online listening to us. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Eva. I'm just calling in from Canarsie Territory, New York City. Again, my name is Eva Mexica Nahuatl, and calling in because I didn't have the chance to head out to Santa Fe this year. I'm a curator and really focus on the storytelling that our peoples across all of Turtle Island have to put out there, that it is our duty, it is our calling to be storytellers and to keep that for us. And so I'm really happy to hear so much that is going on over there, and congratulations on everyone showing. Congratulations on everyone being present for their community throughout this last year and through the future, because it's that creativity that's going to keep us going. And I just wanted to shout that out and to also ask y'all, you know, what are some of the things that you've seen that have been really inspirational now that you're back at market and able to be present with so many other artists? What do you recommend? What am I missing out on? Thank you.
Well, thanks. Thank you so much for calling in today. And you still have a chance to call in. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Cougar, go ahead.
Oh, that's Ava. I've known Ava for the past couple of years. I told her to call in because I think her experience in this pandemic has been really interesting. She hosts these like salon style gatherings. And it's a group gathering of people, young artists and innovators, and you know that's been shut down so for the past, you know, since last spring. So you know, I wanted to get her input in that, but most of all, you know, I think that everybody, I don't know, I haven't really been able to look around yet to see what other people have done. I just been talking to friends really since this morning and kind of trying to catch up, and I actually made some new friends really. So you know, it's been, I think, just me being in contact with people is really much more, I've been looking forward to getting in contact with people rather than just like seeing what they've done, you know, which is, I don't know, I guess would be normal.
And that's also a big part of it in gatherings like this is, I've even seen some people I haven't, you know, seen in more than a year, definitely with the pandemic. And anything people out there are missing that you've seen, Chase?
I haven't run into anybody yet. I know there's a few people. They're not quite here. This one, they're at the big Santa Fe Art Market this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And no, but really, it was just the beauty of the landscape. You know, driving from Oklahoma out here to New Mexico, that you know, I forgot what it looked like.
And
right. It just taking in that beauty, you know, brought up, you know, some ideas for future projects.
Well, and we have another guest joining us here at the microphone. We have a walk-up mic, so if you're in the building at Buffalo Thunder, you're an artist, maybe you even came and traveled because you wanted to come see the Poe Pathways, come up and find us and share your comments or give us a call. Again, our phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Hello, welcome to Native America Calling. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, hello everyone. My name is Markel Musgrave. I'm from the Coalition to Stop Violence Against Native Women. And I'm really happy to be here today.
Well, and share a little bit about why the Coalition is here, and there's also an event taking place tonight.
Yeah, I'm really excited to share about this fundraising event and benefit, a silent auction that we're having. It's really exciting. So we have a benefit exhibit that was carrying out at the Poe Cultural Center this whole week, and a silent auction happening also virtually. So anybody from anywhere can go into the Poe Cultural Center website and place bids on that silent auction. We also have an event this evening where we're featuring Eulalie, and they haven't come together in like I don't know how many years, and they've come together for our event to support our work in ending gender-based violence and continuing education and awareness on MMIR, MMIW, and different issues that impact our communities in terms of ending violence in our communities.
And, you know, you shared a little bit about the Coalition. The Coalition definitely is doing a lot of work to, you know, with the issues that you're raising. Why is it so important to continue this work and address some of these issues, including, you know, violence against women and, you know, other community members as well?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So our work, we find really important to amplify the voices of our communities, to really listen to survivors, to really listen to community, to carry out what they're they're saying needs to be done in the ways that our communities see fit for ourselves. So that's what our work aims to do, and we're really excited to continue that work and to continue amplifying the voices of those community organizers, the people on the ground, the advocates, the survivors, those most impacted.
For sure, and you can even see some of that in artists' work. Is if you look around, we had an artist on yesterday, and part of their work as well was featuring and doing a project about healing and featuring, you know, MMIW.
Yes, yeah. One of the featured art pieces is by Patrick Collins for our exhibit and our silent auction. And it does feature Deb Holland, and it mentions the Savannah Act on there. And so all of that, all of the work in that exhibit is in relation to the MMIW crisis and bringing attention and awareness to that. And also attention and awareness to the people doing something about it.
Well, thanks so much. And where can people find out some information if they want to bid on them?
Yeah, so you can go to thepoeculturalcenter.org. You can also visit our website and our Instagram. In our Instagram, in our bio, we have our link tree that takes you directly to the silent auction and for tickets to the show this evening. Doors open at 6. The event's from 6 to 9. It's also mask mandated, so bring your mask, distance, and we're really excited to have everyone come join and support.
Well, thanks so much for coming and telling us about this event and the work that you all are doing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kudawaha.
Thank you. And listening to our guests walk up to the mic and just talk about, you know, the different Native issues, and a lot of artists put that into their work as well. Chase, any thoughts on them?
Well, I think it's always good to reflect on current issues a bit within your art, you know, just to show that there is a voice for them. I can't speak for others. For myself, you know, I did a piece that's symbolic for the MMIW and the children that are being found at the residential schools, you know, just to show that, you know, we are resilient, we are persistent, we are still here.
Definitely. And as well, I want to get your take on that too, Cougar, but we got to take a short break. And again, we're here. You're listening to Native America Calling, and we're at Buffalo Thunder doing a live broadcast. And we are talking with artists. We have a walk-up microphone. So we want to hear from you too, our listeners. Are there events going on in your area that you're going to take part in? Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We got to take another quick break, but we'll be right back.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. There's still time to get on our discussion today about Native arts and culture and just looking at the resiliency of Indigenous people. We're here at Buffalo Thunder doing a live broadcast at the Pueblo of Pewaukee, and there's a lot of different events going on in the Santa Fe area today through the weekend, and a lot of artists and people coming to see Indigenous arts and celebrate it, and you know, reflect also as well on COVID, and there are COVID restrictions here. And I have two guests sitting here joining me today. Chase, just some words before you head back to your booth. Go ahead, any final words you have? Oops, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to say, you know, come out, enjoy the show, enjoy the dancers, enjoy the presentation that the Pueblo have allowed to put on for us. The artists here, you know, this is the beginning of the market, you know, coming back open, you know, hopefully, you know, hopefully this pandemic will be put behind us, and we'll be able to enjoy more shows and more activities like this in the future. And if you get a chance to stop by booth 221 outdoors, I'll be there this weekend, all weekend. And thank you for having me on the show. Nice to meet you, Cougar.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And you know, we want to hear from our listeners. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we're sitting here and just watching people starting to trickle in, and there's a bunch of different things going on. Vendors outside, there's artists inside and outside, and a lot of hustle and bustle today. There's also music going on. Cougar, when you think about your art and your process and also your photography, is it something that, you know, comes from generations through your family, through your tribe? Share a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Oh, my photography. I'm really inspired by... My mother was a photographer. She actually got her BFA or her BA in, from College of Santa Fe. And so she got her degree in photography. And then, you know, I caught the bug like years ago. And then I've just been documenting, you know, my community. But now I've been really very interested in the tribe's archive. And which I think we have a really, really good extensive archive because I work with the Chapa newspaper. And so that newspaper has been out. We're going to be celebrating the 60th anniversary. So there's 60 years of photography, you know, and I'm really, like, I've been going into the archive, scanning, and it's just been like a huge treasure trove of just discovering the history, you know, this pictorial history. And I've been, you know, I'm fascinated by it. Every time I dive into it, you know, I just go into it. And so that has also inspired me to work on my own archive and, you know, just collecting family photos and, you know, just trying to preserve that because that's also history as well. So, you know, my background with photography goes way back and, you know, you know, I even look at my grandma's photography, and she was really an amazing photographer, and she didn't know it, you know. And it's just really interesting to find these amazing pieces of work that who were taken by just ordinary people. You know, I have a master's degree in photography, but, you know, these pictures were taken by just ordinary people, and they still, you know, they're so fascinating. And I just love that, you know. And I just like to, you know, for me, if that just tells me more of a history, those images combat, you know, stereotypes, you know. I don't really necessarily like to work with historical photographs because those photographers, I mean, one thing photography does is that it confirms, you know, it's like evidential. So for me, like pictures from, I don't want to say his name, but, you know, the most famous one, those old photographers, what they did is actually confirm manifest destiny. And so those images are kind of problematic for me, you know, because I don't really, you know, that wasn't from our perspective or from our, for, you know, they were our voice. But that's why I like to work with present day photographs, and because it's really speaking from our own voice, you know. And I'm really lucky that the tribe thought of this, to hire photographers, you know, 60 years ago. And they've been doing it to this day still. And this archive is huge. So I encourage, you know, other Native photographers or even other newspapers, Chapa newspapers, to continue working with the archive and preserving it because, you know, that is so important to not only our communities, but, you know, just to the general public, you know, that, you know, we're much more complex than, you know, we're not one-dimensional. We're not a monolith, you know. These individual photographs really tell a story. So... Yeah, so that's where, you know, my thinking comes in when photography, you know, that's, so that's basically it.
And can you tell us a little bit about your community? Can you share a little bit and maybe even a little bit about the tribal newspaper?
Well, like I mentioned, we're celebrating our 60th anniversary. The paper was started in 1962. And it's been documenting everything, you know, from... high school championships to, you know, tribal inaugurations, you know, just, you know, people who pass through, celebrities. So, you know, it's just there to document. And so that's what I do kind of, you know, I go out there and I take photographs and I document it with my camera. Sometimes I carry two cameras, one digital, one film, you know, because I like to have the variety. You know, I like the tacticalness of holding a film. You know, I still am a film photographer. But yeah, you know, I've been working in dark rooms all over the country. And I show my work all over the country, and it's just, you know, that's where I am at, you know, trying to just say that, you know, we are much more than cartoon characters, and, you know, and so, you know, just to combat, you know, just to say that, you know, we had to do, working against, like, those earlier photographers, you know, who came through the tribes, you know, so that's kind of how that is going.
And you think about it, it brings up a lot of questions about, you know, permission as well, because if you look at some of the photos or how people do today, and, you know, you just can't go into a tribal community and just start taking pictures of whatever you want. If, you know what, yeah, I'm saying? So go ahead and expand on that.
Oh, well, you know, the camera is, you know, I've always believed that the camera is an apparatus of colonialism. So what I mean by that is that, you know, the camera can enter a space. It can occupy a space. The camera has power dynamics, you know. If I had a camera right now, you know, I could do so much with it, you know. You know, I can say things, you know, with the camera that other people can't, you know. It can extract resources. It can, you know, exploit. So by working with that, you know, I try to avoid all of that with my work. And, you know, I just really like to let people know that, you know, that things should be kept sacred, you know. And sometimes it doesn't need a picture, you know. Because a lot of these things that I see, you know, like, you know, crown dancers, I don't think crown dancers were made to be photographed, you know. There's other things that I think are sacred, you know, that shouldn't be photographed, you know. So I totally avoid, you know, even carry my cell phone into some of these spaces, because I just don't, you know, I appreciate and I respect the power that's there, you know. And so I know that some of these early photographers did that, and they were able, and so that kind of carried on this tradition of doing, you know, kind of told people that it's okay to do that. But, you know, I don't, even now, I'm kind of scared of, like, taking selfies because of facial recognition, you know, software that's available, you know. So there's a lot of things that I'm pretty much cautious of when it comes to photography and being indigenous.
And you know, you also bring up a good point about just the accessibility of smart technology right now, and just everything, you know, having access to phones and everything like that. And just, it seems like, you know, like what you said with selfies, is just people want to take pictures everywhere. I mean, anywhere and everywhere, yeah. In spaces.
Go ahead. That's really problematic when I see, like, people posting pictures of their kids, because they don't have consent, but they're not aware of that. There might be some facial recognition going into some database, you know? I mean, that's, that could be, you know, that I think all data is collected, including facial recognition. And so, you know, I think people should be cautious of that too, of who they're posting pictures of, you know? So there's a lot of things that, I could go on and on, but yeah.
Well, we're here at Buffalo Thunder, and you've been listening to Native America Calling today, and we've had some great guests, and we have a few more minutes here before we have to wrap up the end of the hour. But, you know, as we're here and we're seeing all these people walk by and seeing all the artists and the public, and there's also music and food and dance, there's a fashion show. What are your hopes for the future? You know, definitely we're sitting here at COVID-19, and there's a lot of precautions. There's, you know, face masks are required here. There's also, you know, hand sanitizing stations. They're asking people to keep safe distances. And what is your hope as, you know, we continue through the pandemic for all the Native artists here, tribal communities, and even just the general public here?
Well, I said, you know, don't stop creating, you know. I mean, I think one of the ways that as Native artists is that we are always resilient, we're innovative, we can come up with new ways, new ideas. You know, there's always, you know, there's change is always happening. Change is always constant. So we, you know, it's not only that we have to adapt, but, you know, we always have to, you know, figure out our, you know, our path in life, you know, and just continue doing that. And, you know, I'm very, an advocate of that, you know, just don't stop, you know, keep going. You know, when it comes to tribes, you know, support your, maybe have, every tribe should have their own little art market, you know, to support the artists, you know, because I know that I don't know if it's what the statistics are with people, with Native artists and, like, retirement, you know, if It was just recently that I started my own retirement on my, so, you know, it's, there's a lot of things that we have to do to continue to support the arts, you know, because it's multi-generational. You know, I'm selling my mom's work today, you know, because she couldn't come because she's kind of a little cautious. So I'm pretty sure there's other people who are doing the same thing, you know, taking grandma's work, you know, like, I'll sell it for you, you know. So I think we have to do as much as possible. Even just prices, you know, don't. I think artists shouldn't be scared of increasing their price, you know, because that's like a COVID tax, you know. I mean, right. That's a year's worth, you know. I mean, people have to consider like a year and a half worth of income. So I think there's a lot of things that people have to consider. But definitely, you know, we should always continue supporting the arts, supporting each other. Even on Facebook, if anybody's not here, if anybody couldn't come, you know, share their work on Facebook, you know, tag somebody, you know, tag them, you know, try to promote them. You know, if you can't do that, you know, if you can't come physically, just go out on Instagram and just promote the artist's work, because, you know, they need it. Everybody needs it here.
And any thoughts or words for emerging artists? You know, a lot of young people out there, maybe they're out there listening, or their parents are listening, and, you know, there's something in them that, you know, is sparking. How do you, any words of encouragement to for young people who are either artists right now, they want to be artists, they want to follow this journey?
Oh, yeah. I do a lot of things. I also teach. Uh-huh. I teach at Northern New Mexico College, and I teach at Dulce High School. So, you know, I have students in past classes, and I really encourage them just to keep going, you know. Even if there's something, you know, to learn something new, you know, to always figure something. There's always, on YouTube, there's always somebody sharing their process. You know, there's always an artist who is showing how to do a t-shirt, how to silk screen, how to, you know, paint a skateboard, or how to make t-shirts. You know, there's always somebody on around, you know, and I think that we should just, you know, direct them towards and keep empowering them, because, you know, they know things that I don't know, you know, and like, there's some, you know, I wish they would share it with us, you know, because they have a perspective that needs to be heard. They have a voice that needs to be heard. And, you know, I think with what's going on in the news and the outside world, I think we need to shift some focus on the youth and, you know, tell them, you know, good things, you know, because it's always changing, you know. We don't know what's next. And, you know, that's the thing, you know. So whether it's through music or through photography or whatever, fashion, you know, we always have to, you know, we have to do what we can to, you know, to uplift them, you know, because they are their future, you know.
And if there's anybody that's listening and they're heading over here, where can they find you at? Where are you at here at Buffalo Thunder?
I'm in the ballroom at booth 26.
Okay.
And can I tell my website?
You can tell, maybe share, if they're not here, how can they find you?
Okay. Yeah, they can find me. My website is cougarvhill.com, and I'm on Instagram at intdoyvhill. So those are two main things I mainly update. So.
Okay, and you'll be here all weekend?
Yeah, I'll be here all weekend, yes.
Okay, well, we only got like another minute or so. Just any final thoughts as we're wrapping up our time here today on a Friday at Buffalo Thunder at Puaque Pueblo, and great conversation, a lot of artists, a lot of people, a phone call. Just a good thoughts and good vibes here at the art market, and also just around town in the Santa Fe area.
Well, I'd like to thank you know, the Pueblo of Puaque, the governor, and Carl Duncan, the executive director of PO. You know, they did an outstanding job, you know. It looks like everything's running well and smoothly. You know, they're treating the artists very well. And so, you know, I'd like to thank them and just, you know, appreciate what they're doing for the 300-plus artists that are here. I know they stepped in when other things were, you know, weren't expanding. So, you know, they took the overflow of artists. So, yeah, definitely to like to thank the casino, and, you know, because I think I heard that the casino was like, you know, we'll support you, you know. And so, you know, I like to just thank everybody. And I think just finally just say to get vaccinated.
Well, thank you so much, Cougar Vhill. for joining us here on Native America Calling today. And to all of our listeners, all of our guests that joined us, either in person or on the phone, and it's Friday. We got another great lineup of shows for you next week. I just want to thank all of our staff. Art Hughes is our executive producer. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. Sol Treviso helped us out. Marino Spencer is our engineer. Nola Daves Moses and Bob Peterson are with Native Voice One. Clifton Chadwick is our national underwriter of sales. Trip Krause is filling in for me at the news desk. Charles Sather is our COO and president and CEO of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is Jacqueline Salee. And I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Everyone have a great weekend.
Looking to get your high school diploma? Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute offers Native Americans ages 18 or older training and preparation courses for the high school equivalency diplomas in person and online beginning September 6th. This no-charge program includes testing fees and other resources will be available to help with supplies and living expenses. Space is limited. Application deadline is August 6th. More by calling 505-382-4287 or at sipi.edu who support this show.
Anna Lena had done a deskwaska to get you to Yola, Gessesti. Adana to get you to Yola, Gesses, Natohi, Adeti, Uyesti, Gusla, Antana in. We tell no head any area, a yella, an accessi, she's a duly, the Delo Hohusti, Yadanti, at healthcare.gov, 1-800-318-2596. He are gets a no Medicare, a la Medicaid, Unadaska in.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.